Happy Sabbath, brethren. It's really good to see all of you here today. And I have a question for you. Are you suffering from a spiritual war? If you are, that is a good thing. I mean, we have this tug of war of overcoming our nature, overcoming evil, and putting on God's nature. And that's not easy. We struggle with that. So how do we get this, I'll call it badness, out of us, and how do we put on goodness? That's what we'll look at today. You know, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we'll turn there in a little bit, is goodness. Goodness is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Now, there are people in the world today that can do good things, but that's not a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. That's a step up, as we'll see in Scripture. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, 7, because Scripture tells us that badness for us comes naturally. You know, as we heard in the first message, you know, we as human beings, the first two humans, you know, they chose for themselves what to do by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're choosing for themselves. This whole world is choosing for themselves what's right and wrong instead of following God's way of life. But for us, it doesn't come naturally for us to put on goodness. As we see in Romans chapter 8, 7, it says, because the carnal mind, our mind, okay, God didn't create it, you know, evil. It was neutral. And man got a choice to obey God or not. He didn't force it. He encouraged them. He told them the repercussions that you're going to die. You're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. It was the instruction was given to Adam, and Adam gave it to Eve. So that carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't want to obey God. We've talked about this, and we know this. But I want to dig into this today. For the mind, our mind is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, we were talking about this before services, some of us. Why can't the world see? Why can't certain people? Why can't our kids see? They're so intelligent. They can't see this word that God has given to some to understand. But God has a wonderful plan to change our character. He didn't just leave it to us. He has to be involved. Let's turn over to 3 John 3, chapter 1, because we must be dedicated. After we've been called, John 6, 44, and we receive that calling and we move forward, we must continue to be dedicated. Not everyone has been, nor will everyone be as time goes on. But God is determined to help us to overcome the evil in our lives, and he's determined to help us to put on goodness. 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, behold, or beloved, do not imitate what is evil. Don't do what is evil. He's telling us. So are we determined to do that? That's one question. But be determined what is good. Do what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. He who does evil is not doing the will of God, is what it is saying here. We can go back to 1 John chapter 4. Do we know God? Are we doing his will? Do you have his Holy Spirit? 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him. That means we remain in God. We have a relationship with God, and he's in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we know that process of the Spirit is I spoke earlier, you got to be called, you have faith, you have repentance, water baptism, laying on of hands, and you continue to hear the word of God and apply it in your lives. And yes, God's commandments need to be kept. You know, God is the goodness in us. It's his character that reflects who we are. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read Galatians 5. Says, verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, okay, this is fruit from doing the will of God. Doesn't just happen. The Holy Spirit must be used. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So we put on God's love. We have joy. No matter what goes on in our lives, we have joy by doing God's will. And we have peace by doing his will. Long-suffering. God is long-suffering. He wants everyone to come to repentance whenever he calls them. He wants us to make it to the very end. And sometimes you wonder, why am I suffering this spiritual warfare? Well, God wants to know. He tests us. Satan is there to tempt us. We're at war. God wants to know what our choices are. You have kindness, and then this is the word I want to continue, you know, looking at today, is goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So these are fruits. These are this is God's character. This is his nature. This is God-likeness. This is goodness. This is what we need to be doing in our lives. So today I have 4 points to help us in putting badness out and goodness in. And I'm not going to hit all the scriptures. Try to finish on time. Number one, goodness reflects God's character. Goodness reflects God's character. So when you say people, that's a good person, do they have God's Holy Spirit? Well, do they reflect God's character? We'll touch on that in another point here in just a little bit. And that is for us now, for those who God calls and have made that commitment, right? That's what we need to be having, that fruit, along with the other fruits, in our lives. And if we hold on to that with God's help, because we can't do it on our own, then he wants to give us eternal life. He wants to know before he does that. So that's why we are in this battle. What do you want to do? Are you committed? Am I committed? You know, God is very, I would say, generous. He's very merciful. He gave us his son to die for us so that we could be like him, so that we could have mercy, that we could show mercy to each other. God is long-suffering, as we just talked about. He's patient. He's kind. And people always point the finger at God. Some people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people kicked him out of their lives. What's he doing on this world? And they haven't. You know, it's like, why is my son or why is my daughter living like this? Well, it's because of the parents. No, hopefully it's not because of the parents. The parents did their best. And the parents would say, I did my best, but they're making their own choices. Well, God created us. He's given us a choice. What are we doing? Let's not blame God. God wants us to see when you're doing something wrong, let's turn around, let's change. Let's not do that again. You know, sometimes you get that scar on your body because you did something wrong. Well, that's a reminder. I have a reminder right here. I have reminders on my body, to not do those things again. And that should be the same thing with us when we sin. Ah, that hurts. Oh, look what I did. And let's not blame God. Ephesians 5:9, I don't want to turn there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and in truth. So if we kick truth out, there's no goodness. There's no fruit there. You can do something good. I could do something nice for you. But what are my intentions? What are my intentions? Oh, to make myself look good. Oh, yeah, I'm getting close to this person because I'm eventually going to take advantage of them. Whatever the intention is. That's what we'll talk about here in just a little bit. You know, the Bible. We have this Bible, and some people read the Bible to memorize scriptures, but it really doesn't internalize. You know, they don't use it to internalize for correction, for reproof, to what is the Word of God? You know, what do I need to be doing with it? Oh, there's something I'm doing wrong. Okay, I'm being guided to change, and even for correction. We should look at it for that because we're being taught by God. Okay, point number two. Let's now focus on how godly goodness is described by what one does and who one is. So point number two is we must be doing good. I'm going to jump right to an example. And let's turn over to John chapter 6. You know, we could read this from any one of the Gospels. I'm going to read it from John chapter 6. You know, and you can look through Scripture. And Scripture shows us that we're to be self-sacrificing. A self-sacrificing love to other people. That's what we are to be. God has done it for us. I've forgiven you. I'm helping you. I want you to do the same for others. If you can't do that, and as we heard last week, I can't hear your prayer. I can't hear it. You know, spiritually, we have a spiritual relationship with God. Our covenant is that with God, and He wants us to grow and overcome. He wants us to grow spiritually, and He will help us as we're determined to want that, to want His will. And those physical prayers that we ask for, He doesn't answer those always in our time. Sometimes He does. Other times we have to wait. And maybe when we become a spirit being. But I've known God to answer many prayers, but we leave it in His hands. We want to be living a life where we know He hears our prayers. That's the most important thing. But John 6, under the caption of, we must be doing good, okay? I mean, God is the one who gives, right? God's the great giver. He's the one who provides. So with that thought process, let's turn to, the feeding of the 5,000, okay? Real quick. There's a lot, you know, I was thinking about this. Maybe I should just cut this part out and do a separate message on it, but I'm just going to cut to the chase, read it, and just look at it from this perspective that God is the giver, He's the one who provides, and let's look at the actions of the disciples and what Jesus Christ tells the disciples to do and what we need to be doing in our lives. So from that perspective, let's pick it up in verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was at near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, if you look at Scripture, it was 5,000 men plus women and children. This is John chapter 6 and verse 6. But He said this to test Him. Christ already knew what He was going to do. But what was He going to ask? For He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So here He is, He's saying, you know what? Almost 3/4 of a year's wage is not even just to give them a little bit is going to even be enough. These are a lot of people. One of His disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, said to Him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Now, if you go back into some of the other gospel writers, you know, the disciples wanted to, tell Jesus, tell the people to go home. It's getting late. Tell them to go home. Tell them to go in the cities and buy their own food. And Christ is saying, no, No, we're going to feed them. Then Jesus said, make the people sit. So he's telling, so here we have Philip tell him that, hey, there are five barley loaves and they're two small fish, but it's not very much among so many people. But again, God is the one who gives. God is the one who provides if we have faith, if we're seeking his will. All right? Now, we know that God doesn't always just give us what we want physically, right? But I think God is using the physical food here to help us understand a spiritual lesson. At least that's what I draw from it. And there's much more that you can draw from Scripture. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. So he's telling the disciples, all right? And there's green grass here. So he's not just stony rocks and sit down in this and get maybe a cactus in your butt, right? It's grass here. This grass is provided. God has given. He's telling the disciples, orderly, take these people and put them in groups and have them sit down. Okay? And what did the disciples do? They listened. They didn't dig in and say, well, we should do it a different way. No, they listened. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. So he gives thanks to the Father, and then he distributes them to who? To the disciples. Right? We see in John 17 that Jesus Christ prays for the disciples, that they will follow God, and that we will learn from them, right? There's a process here, to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. So the disciples then go distribute it to those that are sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So they got to eat the bread and the fish to their full from these few pieces of bread and fish. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, now the disciples, go do work, right? Go do good. He's helping them to not be selfish. He's helping them to actually doing good the way God wants us to do good. Gather up the fragments that remain so that none is left lost. Gather it all up so that none is lost. Almost like you could parallel that. It's like, hey, I'm calling people. Make sure you take the time and you spend with them so that none is lost. Don't be lazy in this calling. Take care of the brethren. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left, and by those who had eaten. 12 baskets. Does that represent the 12 tribes of Israel? You know, there was more than 12 disciples there, but the disciples, they had all these. It's like, I don't know. I'm just looking at that. And then what did they do with those 12 baskets of food that was left over? Doesn't tell us. But the disciples are like, just a little bit. God provided. He fed them spiritually, and then he fed them physically. And then look at all this food that's left over. And he had us gather it up after he did all the serving. And we're to serve just like he's supposed to serve. We're to do good. They didn't do it selfishly. They didn't take, you know, and expect to get anything back. But God gives when we're not doing that. And when they had seen the sign or the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is truly the prophet who has come unto the world. So I know there's a lot to glean from this, but God asks us to obey his laws. God asks us to hear his word, and the disciples responded, how do we do this? What do we do? And then Jesus Christ showed them, and they put it into action. That's the right attitude, right? They listened. They asked questions, they listened, Christ showed them. So I think there's a lot there, and Christ continued to teach them that information. And they served a lot of people, people they didn't even know. Maybe some of them in there were even their enemies. And the example they thought or thinking, well, serve, but don't serve, don't be selfish, serve everyone. You know, don't be seeking power. Don't be seeking money. This is how we serve. This is how we teach. You know, because, you know, there's a scripture, you can jot it down, Galatians 6, 9 and 10, that we should do good to all. We should do good to all and not grow weary, it says. Don't worry if there's an enemy. We do good to our enemies. If we're only doing good to those that do good to us, you know, there could still be some selfishness in that. But there's no selfishness when you serve an enemy. You're not trying to get any money. You're not trying to get any power. You're just showing mercy. You're showing goodness. Point number three, our heart should match our actions. Now, I was just, you know, on my phone, you know, things, you know, you look at it, and I got this news information that comes up, and we have all these shootings. And I really like that statement that Mr. Resentis stated from what another minister said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And we as a nation should look at what Mr. Einstein said. You know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you know. You think you're going to get a different change? You know, that's insanity. We need to change something. But what did we read in earlier? That our nature is enmity against God. And without God opening our minds and helping us to see, not going to understand. It's impossible. But I was just looking at it, and just in the last couple days, I think last night, 12 injured in a shooting in downtown Austin. At McDonald's, person going through the drive-thru spits on the employee. One of the employees comes out and tries to confront the driver. The driver turns around and shoots and hits a different employee. In another incident, a maskless individual wanted to dine in. He was told he couldn't. He went home, got a gun, came back, and held him up for chicken and waffles. A Sonic driver, or drive-thru, a suspect charged with murder, killed two and injured two. This was just with all in the last 2 days. You know, a man comes in with a chainsaw and chases McDonald's employees because they wouldn't let him dine in the sit-down area. Five shot in Dallas yesterday afternoon. Thursday, 15 young individuals opened fire in a mall. Now, these individuals can do good things, right? Oh, yeah, I can do good things. I can help this lady across the street. I do good things for my mom. I go get the groceries. But is that the fruit of the Spirit? No. No, it's not. Bloodshed in every borough in New York City, it said. And then we just saw this past week in Florida, the Publix grocery store where a gunman, you know, shot a number of people. And except for that last one, these are all within the last couple days. And I'm sure I didn't even get them all. It's crazy out there. And then we see people, how they're living their lives, going against God's law. And just on and on. So our heart should match our actions. We shouldn't pretend to be good and go out and shoot people. We shouldn't pretend to be good and then we're out disobeying God, right? Goodness has our heart matching our actions. And Mr. Tuck talked about that last week. You know, we're told to let that light shine over in Matthew. I'm not going to turn over there. Don't put that light underneath a bushel where it can't be seen. Do the will of God and don't be bragging about it. It's just who we are. Let that light shine. We don't make a noise. We don't point at fingers at people. They ask questions, we answer. We stand for truth. Okay, point number three. We do have a spiritual warfare. Let's turn over to Galatians. We are at war, even in the church, the body of Christ. Paul is speaking to the Galatian churches. And let's check Galatians chapter. Chapter 1, Paul, Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. So he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to help us to overcome our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, to come out of it, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And God wants us to be like him. We read that. What does he want us to be careful? What is he telling to the churches here? Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We've had that happen to us. A different gospel. Galatians 3, 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who's teaching you that you should not have to obey the truth? You know, we're told that we have to obey God. We're tested. You know, this great evil that we have in this world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we must put on the whole armor of God. Brethren, the whole armor, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. You go back and read that sometime. 10 through 20. We also need to be careful. So we've got listening to someone else. What are they telling us? Do we know what's right and wrong? We have Satan to deal with. And we also have ourselves. Let's go over to Galatians 5 and verse 19. This is just one of the area. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. The works of what we do, it's evident. It's which is adultery, and we see that in the society today. You know, the bar is raised for us, even if we look at someone, something, someone in this case, that's not ours, it's adultery. We have fornication. You know, whatever type of fornication, religious fornication, et cetera, et cetera. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. You know, if we're letting our mind be filled also with whatever types of drugs or alcohol, right? Turning it over to Satan, or even witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this week, someone asked me, called me up, and I thought it was a very good question. They asked me, do I have the fruits of God's Holy Spirit? And I thought about that for a minute. And I said, you know what? I don't know what you do when someone hurts you. I don't know how you're living your life. I don't know the situations that you're in when someone speaks evil of you, steals from you, that really pushes your buttons. So that's a good question for all of us. And that's what God has to know too, right? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, you know, the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? You know, we all have situations in our lives. How do we act with our mates? How do we act with one another? How do we act when we're alone and when are we thinking good things of others? How do we act when someone takes something away from us? You know, there's certain things that we're supposed to be doing in our lives, right? We're just supposed to be doing it. But, you know, when you go to the model prayer, you know, it was last week as we were talking about prayer. It says, forgive us our sins. So we're thinking of the body. We're talking to our Father. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So this is a step up, right? We need to forgive those who sin against us. I know people have sinned against every one of us in here. Have we forgiven them? Are we praying for them? Are we willing to give them a cold cup of water? Are we willing to travel and do something good for them? Are we thinking well of them? Are we willing to get rid of the badness in us and put on goodness? Are we willing to go before God? Hebrews chapter 4, this is one of my favorite three verses, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, okay? We have a high priest. We can go before the Father and ask for help. Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan. We are tempted by Satan to do bad things. But we can ask God to help us to put on good things. Since we're in Galatians, it says, Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right? Walk in the Spirit. That means we also need to take all our thoughts and put it into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. So, if we're sinning, we're thinking evil, we got to stop it. Can't get that out of my head. We need to drop on our knees and ask God to help us, not let it go on. And we continue to keep doing that. It's a positive sign when you experience this inner warfare, a battle going on, because you're fighting it. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged of battling the self and pushing to put on God's nature. Just keep doing it. If we don't have this spiritual battle, then we're still part of the world. We're not wanting to give it up. Look at what's going on in the world. Do we want any part of that? The little sins escalate to be much bigger sins. God turns his back on us when we disobey him and don't repent. You're not coming to me. I can't help you. I want to help you, but you're not coming to me. You're not reading this book, hearing the words of instruction. You're not following the ministry that's teaching the word from this book. Are we getting all the badness out? And are we seeking to put the fruit of the Spirit in? Today we're talking about goodness. We need to be looking at all of the badness in us. We need to be wanting to root it all out. When you go pick out a weed or pick a weed out of the yard and you pull it and you don't get the root, you're going, oh, that weed's going to grow back. But if you can figure out how to get that root out and pull it all out, you've got rid of it. And that's what we want to do with sin. We want to get rid of all of it. God wants to know if you want to get rid of all sin. At least you don't want to practice it. We're still sinners. We're still going to sin, but we want to hate it. That's what God wants to know. We want to pull it out by the root. And when we do it, we want to put on goodness. We want to be God-likeness, right? Which is goodness, a fruit of the Spirit. You know, Paul encourages, let's turn to one scripture and we'll close with this. Paul encourages us to be full of goodness over here in Romans. Romans chapter 15. You know, Paul was a servant of God who gave his life to God, who in scripture said, I even struggle. This nature. But I'm going to move forward and I'm here for you. So he encourages us to be full of goodness. Romans 15:14, now I myself am confident concerning you. I'm confident in you, brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Paul was full of goodness, filled with all knowledge from this book through the Holy Spirit. And also to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to help one another. The model prayer is about asking God to help us to overcome, to help us to be like him. So let's not leave one another out. We're of the body of Christ. We're here to encourage one another. So brethren, let's pursue goodness, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's be pursuing that now in our life, because one day we're going to have a judgment time. We're going to come before Jesus Christ, and we're going to be judged for what we've done. We're going to be judged for what's written in this book. And let this be said of us at that time, when Christ says some words that we can hear, that you were full of goodness.